Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
Well, Lyra burst onto the music scene many years ago, but after changing record labels and finding her place in the industry, she has recently secured her first number one album. Lyra joins us now to talk about the music industry and her journey to the top of the charts. Lyra, your debut self-titled album recently reached number one in the Irish charts. But what was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, thank you so much for having me, Carl. It's delightful to be talking to you. I bawled my barnacles off. I cried and cried and cried, like really horrendously ugly crying, like my soul was leaving my body. I think it was like relief, and it was, I don't know, pent up maybe anxiety, and just everything just like came out of me, and I was just like, wow, I've done it. It was the most amazing feeling. It really was.
You know, we don't have too many of those fist pump moments in life, do we?
No, we don't. And I feel like we need to start celebrating the little joys in life a lot more, because we kind of at a point where leaving it pass us by. And I'm culprit for that myself, where I'm like, oh, sure, yeah, but it was grand. But not this time. I'm not letting it pass me. I'm celebrating all week.
So when you look back at your childhood, did you always have ambitions to be a singer?
Yeah, always and forever, to be quite honest. It was the only thing that I was really good at growing up, was singing. I was absolutely shocking in school. Like, my spelling and my maths were like next level. They were like, you need to do pass, like everything basically, except for music. So I kind of knew it was something that I wanted to do because I loved it so much. I suppose I always went hell for leather with it. And then it was when I discovered songwriting that I really came into my own, I suppose, and knew I had another string to my bow, because being a singer would have been a lot harder road. So when I discovered that I loved writing about my life and singing about it, I kind of like turned a corner and said, this is it for me now. I'm going to go here.
And you have a very distinctive voice. So I was wondering, when you were growing up in Bandon, who were your musical influences back then?
My mum was always listening to like Fleetwood Mac, The Carpenters, you know, so it was a lot of that kind of like, you know, iconic music that I was listening to. You know, Sinead O'Connor and Dolores then later on in my life played a massive kind of, I don't know, they inspired me a lot, because I was always told that my voice is a bit too unique, or my diction's too bad, or like singing, not pronouncing my THs wasn't good. And then I listened to those artists and I was like, well, they're doing it. They're being them and they're singing. And it just massively made me feel like I can truly be myself now.
And did you ever engage with a voice coach or anyone at a professional level along the way for any reason?
You know, I done one Zoom call with a vocal coach during COVID to try and teach me how to like in vocal health. It's something I really want to learn about, because I quite like my natural singing style, and that it's not trained. It's not something that I've been taught. It's just my true voice that I was born with. But I would like somebody to teach me how to look after my vocal health, like, you know, how to mind myself when I'm on tour, because you're doing like an hour and a half of like belting songs, and I do come off and I'm a bit husky and I'm scared that I'm hindering my voice. So that's something that I am interested in.
You released your first EP back in 2016, and the following year you were signed by Polydor Records and Universal Music. But I think there's a perception that once you sign to a record label, that success is imminent. But what was your experience of working with these big labels?
Well, I know it sounds like ages since I put out music, like 2016. I started the journey on my own. I wasn't with anyone and I had to self-fund it, so that took me a while. And then I went into Polydor Records, which are a fantastic company, like, for, you know, they have all the great artists. They really do. And they're amazing at what they do and they're amazing at guidance. I suppose I, outside that, maybe had another team that surrounded me that weren't a positive influence on my life. And it took me down some darker holes, and I was trying to find myself and I didn't know who I was, and I was told to be somebody else. And I spent a long time like going back and forth and battling that. And I suppose maybe that's why it's taken me this time to write this album and be completely happy with myself and be happy with my writing and be proud of who I am and how I've changed in my voice and my body image and my body size and everything that I was told was wrong about me. So, you know, this album actually was originally going to come out obviously before COVID happened. And then COVID hit and we were all locked inside for 2 years. And I love being able to see people and interact with them on a personal level. I'm not very much a screen kind of person or artist. And after COVID, when we were thinking about putting the album straight out, I wanted to take that extra year to reintroduce myself to people, you know. And I suppose that's why it's taken this time to get the album out. But I'm so happy that it has, because I think she's a true kind of, like, I don't know, representation of me. That's who she is right now, Lyra, the album. I do call her she, by the way. She's like, who's she talking about? Lyra, the album is a she. All my songs are she's because they're all about me. So in case you're like, who are all these people? They're all me.
And look, reaching number one in the Irish charts certainly confirms that that was the right decision to take at the time.
Yeah, it definitely was. It really, really was. And, you know, I know, like, even my friends, like, I'd be sending them demos and they're like, when's this coming out? And I'm like, probably 4 years' time. They're like, what? Or, like, you know, photo shoots. I done the photo shoot for the album probably a year ago now, you know. So things do take a long time, but I'm here. You know, my physicals came out the same day that Beyonce's physicals came out, and we managed to be the ones that came up number one on the Irish album charts. And I feel like if I didn't take that time to go out and reintroduce myself to the Irish public, I mightn't have got there, because people wouldn't have known who I was, and I wouldn't have built that connection with them, and they mightn't have had my back as much as they did. And I felt like that whole week we were going for number one, I felt like I was playing rugby for Ireland. Like, I felt like the nation were, like, really behind me. They really wanted me to succeed. And I probably wouldn't have had that if I didn't go on this journey. And I'm all about things happen for a reason, and this happened for a reason.
I'd like to know, what surprised you about the realities of music as an industry over the years?
It's kind of a hard one to answer, because, like, obviously you don't want to be, like, I would never turn around and say anything negative about the music industry. I love the music industry, but what has surprised me is that it took us so long to get out of that stereotypical image of a pop star or a star. You know, that makes me sad that it's taken us this long to get there, that, you know, to celebrate people's unique characters, like, and just embrace them as an artist rather than trying to put everyone in a box that just sells records, sells on TikTok, sells online. I feel like we've kind of lost a bit of the true raw grit of music. So it kind of shocked me that it took us that long to be a bit more accepting of people don't all have to look like pop stars to be pop stars.
Taylor Swift has been incredibly successful at a global level. What makes her that pop star that appeals to people globally?
I think she's an absolutely fantastic songwriter. Like, that's a given. Like, her whole album, like, obviously I'm a music nerd, so, like, I go through everything on Spotify and I always go into the song credits to see who wrote the songs and who produced the songs. And a lot of her songs are her and a producer, which actually is exactly the way I like to write as well. I like to write in a small team, me and a producer, that's it. And she does that all the time. And she has numerous of albums, numerous of number ones. And I feel like people are connecting with her because her music's fantastic. And she is such a likable girl. You know, she's like the girl next door. You know, she's somebody that everyone can relate to. Mm-hmm. And she speaks her mind. And I think people also really appreciate that, that it's not all staged, it's not all scripted. It feels like it comes from the heart from her. And people want that. People want real people. So I think it's massively stood to her.
And Lyra, from a creative control perspective, what changed when you joined the independent label Ruby Works?
Well, I feel like I was reborn. I genuinely do. And I know that might sound cheesy. I get that, but it was. Like, it felt like I was fully 110% accepted for exactly the way I was. Like, in every aspect of my music, as me as a woman, like, I felt so accepted, and I felt like everyone in Ruby Works wants the best for me as an artist. You know, it's not about numbers. Obviously, it's great getting number ones. It is fantastic. It's a great feeling, but that's not their sole purpose of having me signed as an artist. It's they believe in me and they want the best for me. And it's the first time in very, very long time outside my family that I've really felt that love and passion and respect. And it's amazing. I can't really describe it, but it feels like they are my music family. And obviously my manager, Caroline Downey, like, I call her momager, and that's what she is. She's like my mom. And in the music industry, she's the most beautiful woman I've ever met, and she's a massive inspiration to me.
Lyra, talk to us about the process about making the album and how involved you were in both the writing and producing of the 14 tracks.
Well, I'm extremely hands-on with the writing process. The whole album is about me, my life experiences, my breakups, my makeups, all the rest of it. So that is very much coming from me. And then I work with amazing producers. I'm very lucky to work with some really top-class producers where I can sit down and tell them how I like hear the song going and how the song needs to sound sonically in order to portray the stories I'm telling. You know, it is a very hands-on process. It is normally just me and one other person. I like to keep the team kind of like tight because I find it more of a safe space to kind of go a bit deeper into the music.
And what are your plans to tour the album over the coming months?
So I'm doing a lot of festivals now coming up this summer, which I can't wait for. We've two Ballykeith dates after coming up, and like the first one sold out in an hour.
Wow.
And the second one is just about to sell out, which is great. And we're going on to the Marquee in Cork, which obviously is a massive thing for me being from Cork. And when I actually got that email in, I responded and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Who am I supporting? And they were like, oh, no, it's your own show. So be a Cork woman headlining the Cork Marquee is also going to be another very special moment for me.
And now that you have a number one album under your belt, is the UK next on your list?
Yeah, I'm actually going back to the UK because I start a tour the next week. I'm going on a kind of a mini tour around the UK, just testing the waters, seeing how it is, and hopefully finding some new fans.
What else are you planning in terms of promoting your music in the UK market?
Well, you know, we've had a lot of interest in radio play. So when I go back, we have a lot of interviews lined up. We have a lot of people want to do some, you know, live footage videos, things like that. And I'm very excited about it because it's a new market, a new territory. And I want to bring a bit of Ireland over to the UK and show them what we're made of, you know?
And even further afield, of course, the opening track on the album is called America. Is that the ultimate goal for your music career?
I'm kind of like the person, I just go with the flow and like whatever happens, happens. And I'm very, very happy where I am at the moment. But I would love to go to America. I'd love to experience singing in front of an American crowd, you know, seeing what they think of us. We all know that a lot of Americans do love the Irish and our culture and our accents. And I'd love to maybe go over there and show them another side to Ireland, you know, that it's not all river dance and Irish dancing, that, you know, we have some queens over here too.
And Lyra, over the last number of years, we have seen many artists diversify into the worlds of acting and fashion. Is that something that you would like to explore?
I would love to go into fashion because it's something that I'm massively passionate about. A lot of my stage outfits I do design and get them custom made by a shop in Cork called Phoenix V. And I love designing them, or like I'll buy stuff on like eBay, Depop, Vintage, and I like upcycle them into like leotards and make gloves with the remainder of material and stuff. So fashion is definitely a thing I'd love to do. I'm not sure about the acting because I'm so bad at remembering my own lyrics. I'm not sure what I remember as script, so I might have to leave that one to Cillian Murphy.
Now, Eurovision 2024 is just around the corner, and your fellow rebel Bambi Tug is set to fly the flag for Ireland this year. Of course, I know that Eurovision fans have often suggested that you would be a great entrant. So could we see Lyra represent us at the contest in the next few years?
We'll never say never. At the moment, I'm just going hell for leather with my own stuff because it's taken me long enough to get it out. I want to give it a good run. But I've always said that I'd love to write a song for Ireland for the Eurovision until maybe there's a day that I'm ready to put the tie-high boots on and go out and represent us in the Eurovision. You
Brilliant.
Never know.
And finally, Lyra, what advice do you have for anyone listening this morning that would like to pursue a career in music?
Keep going. You have to keep going. It's so easy to give up. And, you know, there is some really, really tough days and you do want to give up and you question, is it worth it? It is worth it in the end. And, you know, if you really are passionate about music and it's something that you love, you never will work a day in your life because it will never feel like it, but you have to keep going. Like, I haven't just become a blow-up TikTok sensation. I've worked so, so hard. And I think it stood to me massively.
Well, if you've just tuned in, that was chart-topping singer Lyra, whose debut album is available to stream or purchase right now.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.